Recently, the Audio Description Association held its national conference in Birmingham. The purpose was to grow audiences, looking at how to encourage more blind and partially sighted people to take up the services at theatres, arts venues, cinemas, etc., as well as looking at some of the new advances in technology. This year's conference was organised by Anne Hornsby from Mind's Eye Arts.
The Audio Description Association has been going since 1997, I think. I was there at the beginning, so I'm now very old. And we exist to promote audio description, to promote the quality of audio description, to provide training, to provide networking opportunities. We are a registered charity, and everyone who works on the executive does it voluntarily. So we work across England. Ada Scotland is our sister organisation in Scotland. So we arrange training events, networking opportunities, we have a newsletter, and we're open to audio describers, both professional and volunteer, to venues, so theatres, museums, galleries, and also to visually impaired, partially sighted and blind people who want to have a bit of a say in how audio description is developing as well. Today here at Birmingham Hippodrome, we're absolutely thrilled. We've got over 100 people here. Some of them are describers, some of them are venues. We have a good sprinkling, if you don't mind being a sprinkling, of blind and partially sighted people, users and listeners to audio description. And the whole day is about hearing from those people who use the services, what they think about them, and about how we can increase audiences for the events. So the challenge for the day really is to discuss good practice in terms of attracting audiences, to put our heads together and to work out how we can bring more audiences in. So the sorts of things that we're looking at and discussing in the breakout groups, the issues around programming, who decides what's on, and do the listeners get to have a say as well, about pricing, about timing, about publicity, websites, use of social media. So all the ways people can find out what's going on, but also how they can communicate back about their experiences in terms of customer care, the welcome, the touch tour, the actual description provided, and we're looking at new technologies. I first started audio describing in about 1989, I think. That was at the Octagon Theatre in Bolton. And we introduced audio description there because we had a blind customer who had heard about it. And it was only being done then at Windsor Theatre Royal and in America. Now I'm glad to say it's pretty much the norm, and just about every theatre does offer some audio description. So within these last nearly 20 years, we've seen a huge growth in the provision of audio description, but we've also seen exciting developments where companies have started using integrated audio description, where companies have been providing the introductions that we do as audio files for people to access. There are even recorded audio descriptions of live productions that people can have access to. So it's branching out in lots of different ways. It's becoming much more common in museums and galleries as well, both with audio described tours, but also with recorded audio guides. So there's a lot happening there. There's a lot happening in new technologies, but it's all about expanding the audience, reaching out to more and more people to tell them, this is what we do, come along and try it, see what you think, we'd love to see you.
Anne Hornsby there, one of the organisers of this year's Audio Description Association conference. Now, ITV's Vidar Harding was chairing this year's event. Vidar is blind himself and a user of audio description.
So this is the first audio description conference of its kind, national conference actually, that I believe has been held for the best part of 20 years. And in that time, audio description in the theatres and in venues like galleries and museums has changed and hopefully improved immeasurably. However, it's an evolving journey, not least because the whole business around technology and front of house dealing with customers and marketing and publicity is forever changing too. And clearly, we want to get the best for the 2 million or so people who currently have sight loss around the United Kingdom and the rising numbers thereof going forward, so that anyone who wants to can actually have the independence and the pleasure, hopefully, of enjoying live theatre, exhibitions, and whatever else the arts might have to offer. You know, when I think back, audio description has, it's not a silly word to use, but I would say revolutionised my own enjoyment and appreciation of the arts generally, and in particular the theatre, which is my own preferred artistic form. So whether that's in terms of a play or a musical or opera, or increasingly latterly ballet, which was something I thought I would never necessarily appreciate other than the music. So audio description through, you know, carefully prepared, skillfully timed scripts that are delivered by professional audio describers who can actually weave in and out of the language, the lyrics, the dialogue, with a description of what is happening, which is overtly visual on stage, the things that fellow sighted members of the audience would see, appreciate, you know, be able to admire or applaud or whatever it might be, that blind and partially sighted people simply wouldn't be able to without that spoken description.
ITV's Vidar Harding there. Don't forget, Vidar joins us on the afternoon edition every Friday around about 5:10 for his reviews on a variety of audio described performances, theatres, ballet, opera. Don't miss that. Also at the event, there were three particular groups which delegates attended. They were looking at new technologies for delivering audio description, looking at engagement, how to encourage more people to go to theatres and arts venues and take up the audio description, and also marketing. How do the venues let people know that they have audio description? Toby Davey is the Deputy Director of Vocalise, who provide audio description. He told us what he thought about the marketing event.
The interesting thing for me was the variety of different venues and how each venue markets their shows and how they decide on how they're going to market it. But some people talking about marketing through talking newspapers, some people saying about issues with talking newspapers, about getting past the gatekeepers, the editors. But I think it was interesting to see how many people are using different media, and also problems with internet and having information bedded down came up as well. I think one of the main issues for blind or partially sighted people is finding out what's on and when, and getting hold of that information. Because a lot of theatres will have the information embedded in their website. It's not easy. If people don't have access to the internet, they're not going to be able to find that out. So theatres can actually use access lists. If they can grab people's information, get their phone numbers, get their addresses, get their email addresses, and send information out to people, I think that's going to really help. My suggestion for improving how theatres market their shows would be to just make sure that the information is prominent, it's visible. That's a strange word to say, visible, but if it is visible, if it's on the website, you have to hunt to find it. And also sighted friends and family. Theatres should be shouting about it. You know, they're providing great access. It's a great story. They should be telling people about it.
Toby Davey there, the Deputy Director of Vocalise Audio Description. Now, also discussed were figures around attendance of audio description at theatres. Some of this information came from Arts Council England. Matthew Cock, who is also from Vocalise, was discussing some of the findings.
I was presenting on some data from various sources that Vocalise has pulled together in the last month, a mixture of a survey we did of UK theatres over the autumn and winter of 2015-2016, our own stats for our shows, around 160-170 performances each year, and also some data from the Arts Council figures on national portfolio organisations. Trying to get a picture of the number of audio described performances at theatres, the size of the audience, and also to find out what theatres felt about those figures. The survey was relatively easy. I went online and did a lot of looking at theatre websites and finding their contact details and sending emails, and I spent a lot of time doing that. The Arts Council data wasn't so easy. They haven't tended to publish their data on accessible performances, but they did give me the information. But I also approached a company who were experts in theatre data, and they helped us fill in some of the gaps and looked at the combined data together to give us some figures. I think the starkest one is that only 40% of UK theatres have presented an audio-described performance in the last 3 years. So in other words, 60% of UK theatres have no access provisioned for blind and partially sighted people. And that's across the Arts Council's subsidised and commercial sector. However, on the more positive side, those that do an average of around 7 audio-described performances a year. So I think the theatres that are doing it are doing quite a lot of performances, but there are still very many that aren't. The average number of users of audio description for an event was around 11. And I suppose that reflects partly the size of the venue, some are large venues and some smaller venues. We also asked organisations how they marketed and publicised their audio described performances, because a lot of them were also saying that, you know, finding and reaching audiences was a very important factor and something they struggled with. And there were some interesting figures there. While 98% of theatres used the website to publicise their audio described performances, under half used social media. So only 49% used Facebook and 45% used Twitter. And only 40% of them had a specific mailing list for audio described users. So there's some kind of things that suggest that they could be doing better. I think we need a bit more work to see what direction it's going. And I have to assume that from the fact, you know, that Vocalizer's doing more and more audio described performances each year, and, you know, from what we hear, that that picture is getting better. But it still does feel that 40% is far too low. Theatres can do a lot more to increase the size of their audiences. It's understandable that theatres don't, you know, have a huge amount of staff capacity, and they may need help from organisations like Vocalise, but there's a lot more that we can be doing to bring in new audiences. I think overall that it's definitely improving.
Matthew Cock there from Vocalise. Coming up later, we'll be looking at new technology which is used to deliver audio description. A describer will tell us what it's like putting together the work for her show, and we'll speak with a service user. They'll be telling us what audio description means to them when it comes to enjoying a trip to the theatre.
Radio for the blind and partially sighted community across the UK.
Recently, the Audio Description Association held its national conference in Birmingham. The day was looking at how to grow audiences to get more people to come to audio described shows, arts venues, etc. That can all rely on technology, and with advances moving rapidly, there are greater ways of delivering quality audio to the patron. One of the discussion groups was looking at some of these advances. One of the contributors was Anna Jones from RNIB.
I was talking about new technology and how new technologies can help theatres and arts venues look at accessibility for blind and partially sighted people. One of the things we were talking about was low-energy Bluetooth beacons, which are beacons that speak to the Bluetooth on a smart device and can aid navigation. So navigation inside a venue, with the possibilities for museums to put beacons around the museum to help people navigate around. But also then within the beacon, put descriptive material, which would give somebody with sight loss additional description of perhaps an object or a painting in front of them. And whilst the technology's not perfect at this stage, because it has a metre accuracy of 2 to 3 metres, that could mean you're in front of the wrong object inside, it does definitely give people the ability to navigate around, especially complicated buildings. The Victoria and Albert Museum in London was referred to, which has 18 split floors, which, you know, would be a problem for anyone to navigate around. The other thing the panel was talking about was technology in theatres for delivering audio description, and how many theatres deliver audio description still using infrared technology, which delivers the audio description using an infrared beam into a headset. There are radio-based technologies out there, and we had colleagues from Sennheiser talking about new app-based technologies where the description can be delivered straight to your smartphone for a theatre performance. The other thing we went on the panel to talk about was actually how technology is changing the way that the world works. So not just within arts venues and museums. We were talking through, you know, there's driverless car trials happening in Milton Keynes, there's connected washing machines on sale in Currys, and actually the way that technology is making society engage with each other in a different way, and the way that we act is very different, that museums and arts venues really should be looking to embrace new technologies to deliver more things to more people. And I think the one thing that came up was an ask on cost, because obviously venues have budgets. Some venues purchase devices or rent devices for delivering description, especially if they're in a museum or a gallery. And there was a conversation about things moving to be personal-led devices. So you turn up with your own smartphone or your own tablet and you download your description onto that before coming, which takes the cost away from the venue but puts the cost and the emphasis on the individual having the device to start with. And those devices, as we know, some of them can be a lot more costly than others, although those prices are starting to come down. I think as the technology gets more popular, the price tends to go in a downward direction, but of course at RNIB we can't guarantee that.
Anna Jones there from RNIB. Now, continuing to look at the advances in technology for delivering audio description, John Young gave a presentation on a new piece of equipment from Sennheiser.
My involvement was related to my former role, which was head of technical services at Ambassador Theatre Group. We reached a bit of a crossroads in terms of renewing our existing provision of infrared systems within venues. And this particular venue that we targeted, the existing Sennheiser system was about to give up, basically. And we got our distributor, who's Stage Electrics, and Sennheiser themselves to come down and advise us on what needed to be done. They said you could put in a new Sennheiser infrared system. That would cost you about 15 grand, you know, something to balk at. They said we could also change that out completely for an RF system, a radio system, which would be quite a bit cheaper, probably 8 grand. But what we weren't expecting was for them to say, but we've also got this emerging technology in this box that we'd like to show you, which is one of those moments, you know, where they take the black cloth off and you go, oh my goodness, what's this? And they said, yeah, it's a Wi-Fi based system called Mobile Connect. Its genesis comes from cinemas, but actually we think it could probably work in the entertainment industry. I said, this is great. It was easy to retrofit because most of the expense in putting infrared systems in is to do with putting in the cabling. So the cable guy takes most of your money. This doesn't need any cabling, save for the fact that it uses a wireless access point. So it just needs a bit of Cat 5 cable going from the access point to the box of tricks, which is called the Connect Station, which is a little 2U unit that can sit in an audio rack. Essentially, you can plug your show feed or microphones or anything that you want to broadcast into the Connect Station, and it will then generate a Wi-Fi signal that can be picked up by a smart device. And that's how it works. What we need to do in the hard bit for Sennheiser was to integrate with a theatre operator to get them to advise on how the cultural shift needed to work for people to bring their smart devices and use them within an auditorium. Whereas before, of course, it was frowned upon very much. And that's where we came in as an operator to help. We've been operating for the last year, just about. We've been operating a trial in 5 venues that are part of the Ambassador Group, 2 in London and 3 in the regions. And we tried to make them as different in size and capacity as possible so that we could learn from the experience. That trial is coming to an end now. We're satisfied that we can work with Sennheiser to develop the technology from their point of view, so taking all the feedback that we get constantly from customers, but also from forums such as today's conference, because Sennheiser are really open to any kind of feedback that we can give them to try and improve not just the app, but the overall customer experience, because it is re-educating people on how to use audio description outboard equipment. Most people that we've encountered have grasped it with both hands. One slight hiccup that we had was with the hard of hearing community, because it's a different kind of setup for them. Sometimes the signal needs a little bit of a boost from the smart device, so say your iPhone or your Android phone, to your analog hearing aids. You might need to use one of those little loop booster necklaces that people are used to wearing for traditional infrared services. The older community, of course, are a little bit, and I don't want to generalise too much, but they're a little bit technophobic. And so to add another layer of meaning you need to use another device in addition to your smart device that you might not be that used to was a little bit confusing for them in our focus group. So we took that on board, and Sennheiser are developing in Germany technologies to try and eradicate some of that clunkiness, you know, where you have to just carry too many bits of kit around with you to make it look as though it's a smooth operation.
John Young talking about the new Sennheiser Mobile Connect system for delivering audio description. Now, it's not all about the technology. There has to be a person delivering that audio description. It is a highly specialised and professional vocation. Julia Grundy is a describer.
Well, it's great fun. I'm very lucky to do a job that I really love. It can be very manic. I'm freelance, so although I was trained and do a lot of work for the Royal Shakespeare Company, I work for instance, here at the Birmingham Hippodrome, work Birmingham Rep, do work for the Royal National Opera and Royal Opera and stuff. So I can be all over the country. I have periods when it's quite calm and I'm writing my scripts and practicing at home, and then I have periods when I could be in Newcastle one day and Southampton the next, and I could be describing pantomime one day and Shakespeare the next. So it's very varied. When we started, it was a purely voluntary profession. Now, of course, it's a proper profession with standards, and most theatres pay us now. But I find that with describers, some come via contact with the visually impaired community and some come via contact with the theatre. Mine came via contact with a previous job which involved making recordings at the theatre, so I got to be very interested in the theatre, and that is the route I came through it. I get to see an enormous variation and number of plays, which are wonderful, and also I get to meet a wonderful audience. Sometimes it's not comfortable. You've got to do a good description, and I always like feedback at the end, and if the feedback is critical or challenging, and with the best will in the world sometimes it's going to be, then that's great too, because it's the only way you're going to improve. But I've met so many audience members who I've got to know. Last week I did an audio description at Stratford. We had a lovely lady who's a frequent attendee. She comes with her daughter. She told me she was here as her birthday treat. And I said, that's lovely, what's your birthday? She said, I'm 100. And that was one of the best moments I've had this year. What I think about today's conference is that I was lucky enough to go to the first one 19 years ago in Nottingham. And what strikes me is how far we've come since then, not just in terms of technology, but in terms of how we view the service and how we interact with our users and our audience, and also the fact that we've got lots of theatres here, theatres that are really engaged. To be honest, 19 years ago it was quite a struggle, and every time you went to a new theatre you didn't know what sort of reception you were going to get. And today, with the number of theatres here, as well as with the new technology and with our audience members and other describers, it's a very heartening experience. I've got a lot out of it, not only in terms of meeting some old friends and making some new contacts, but to see how healthy, I think, audio description is. There's a long way to go, and there's a lot more technology to go, and a long way to go in all sorts of areas, but it's great. Yes, I've really enjoyed today. I've got a lot out of it.
Audio describer Julia Grundy there. Now, it wasn't just professionals attending the Audio Description Association conference. There were representatives from service users as well. Sally Nigel White told us her story.
I'm here because I was very honoured to be asked to represent service users here at the Birmingham Hippodrome as someone who's used it for a variety of performances. I've been here to see ballet, opera, West End musicals and plays, and also to give a user's point of view of plays in other places. I've been across the city to the Birmingham Repertory Theatre and to Stratford to the Royal Shakespeare Company. And just to give my point of view as somebody who uses audio description in different theatres and to compare different places. And I was fortunate enough that my very first audio description experience here was for the Birmingham Royal Ballet's production of Beauty and the Beast, and Julia Grundy was one of the audio describers, and she is extremely good at putting across what is going on the stage. And this was my first experience, and I was enchanted with that, and absolutely enchanted by the touch tour beforehand to be able to feel the props and to get some idea of what exactly is on the stage. Some of the snags with audio description are that the headsets are different. Some are more comfortable than others. Some fit over the head and others fit behind the head. I found that in ballet, I had to alter the volume as the music was louder. I had to turn the volume up in order to hear the audio description. And then, of course, with the volume turned up, the description was disturbing the other people sitting around me, so I then had to turn the volume down again as the music was softer. I'm delighted that audio description is available because I loved coming to the theatre as a sighted person, and I came to the theatre as my sight deteriorated, but at last I came to a production where I missed the salient points of the final act and had to ask what happened there. And at that point, I decided I've really got to investigate coming to an audio described performance and having somebody describe to me what is going on. And I've been absolutely delighted to use it for different productions, opera, ballet, West End musicals.
That was Sally Nagel-White talking about her experience as a visually impaired person using audio description. If you would like to find out more, if there's perhaps audio description services in your area, then why not contact RNIB's helpline on 0303 123 9999, or you could contact your local cinema, theatre, museum or art gallery.